The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, this is episode 300, so how crazy is that? I mean, that's a lot of episodes, if you ask me, but shout out to all y'all who have been listening at any point, whether it's from the beginning or just in the middle or even today. I really appreciate that. But let's get to Thursday night football, and it looks like the Seattle Seahawks are what we expected them to be. They're now officially on a 3-game losing streak after they lost last night to the San Francisco 49ers, 36-24. Yeah, sounds kind of like a close score, but for the most part, it was pretty much Niners domination from start to finish. As a matter of fact, it probably would have been worse if it wasn't for the Niners kind of falling apart in the red zone areas. They had to settle for field goals a couple of times. So this actually probably could have been a much bigger score for the Niners, but still, they still got the win, 36-24. Brock Purdy had a solid game, 18 for 28 with 255 yards and 3 touchdowns. San Francisco 49ers defense really locked it down, though. They just caused a bunch of turnovers. They had 2 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles, and they just made shit real uncomfortable for Geno Smith the entire game. DK Metcalf really couldn't get open. The ground attack really couldn't get started. And then just towards the end, they did kind of make a little bit of a run. Because honestly, the Niners in pretty much every game this season, they have really fallen apart in the second half of the game. And they did that in this one too. They were able to hold it down and maintain their lead, but it looked like it was getting shaky there for a little bit. And they're honestly lucky that the Seahawks are just not a better team, because they probably would have lost that one if the Seahawks would have been able to just put together a little bit there in the second half. But doesn't matter. The Niners got the win, and Seattle is now on a 3-game losing streak. Let's move on to the rest of the Week 6 matchups this week. Also my head-to-head matchup with Simon Ruvalcaba. Man, he's falling further and further behind me. I went 9-5 last week, and so that brings my record up to 46-32. He went 7-7 last week, and that brought his record up to 33-45. Now, he did gain a game yesterday, because I picked the Seattle Seahawks to win that one, 24-21, and he picked the Niners to win it 24-23. So he actually got a win, but we'll see how the rest of this weekend goes. Beginning in London again, we have us another London game. As a matter of fact, we have basically London's very own Jacksonville Jaguars at the Chicago Bears. Right now, the Bears are a 1.5-point favorite. I kind of view these teams basically on the same playing field right now. They're not very impressive, but to keep it real, I think the Chicago Bears are actually playing much better football than the Jacksonville Jaguars are, which is actually why I'm taking them in this one. I do think it's going to be a close game, but I think the Chicago defense is really damn good, and I feel like they're just going to have the Jaguars offense on their ass all day. They probably will force a turnover or two, and Caleb Williams, he's actually progressed each and every week. He's got better with every game, so I just kind of feel like he's going to ball out in this one, and I feel like the Jaguars will fall short, as they usually do, in a close one, 27-26. Simon also has, the Jaguars in this one, 23-17. Now, I wouldn't be shocked, because like I said, these are very equal teams, but I'm just going Chicago, because I feel like they're playing much better football, and Jacksonville just does not look good. Now, like I said, wouldn't be shocked if they were to get the win, but I got Chicago. Then we have the Arizona Cardinals at the Green Bay Packers. Right now, the Packers are a 4.5-point favorite. I feel like Arizona is just not a very good team. They spark at certain points, and they're able to score a lot of points, but for the most part, they just don't play any consistent football, whereas the Green Bay Packers actually look like a legitimate team this year. Jordan Love, he's been getting better since his injury, and they really are just putting it together, and I kind of feel like this is going to be a very easy, dominating game for them. I've got the Packers winning 35-17. I feel like their defense is very underrated. They actually tend to cause quite a few turnovers, so I'm kind of looking at them causing some issues for Kyler Murray along the way. And Simon also has Green Bay winning this one 23-16. Then we have the Indianapolis Colts at the Tennessee Titans. Right now the Titans are only a half point favorite, so that just goes to show you how close this matchup is going to be. It is a division matchup. It's actually looking like Anthony Richardson may end up getting a start in this one. I believe I saw that Taylor is out again, so that's not good for them. But the Titans, they're a terrible team. They have nothing going on. They don't really have any good players. They don't play with any level of consistency. Whereas the Colts, they don't really play with a lot of consistency either, but they're able to get those kind of like spark plays on the offense where, you know, Richardson could just bomb it downfield and just find his dude and get the score. And even on the defensive side of things, Indianapolis is pretty damn good on the defensive side of the ball. Whereas the Titans, I really don't have much. I just don't think they're a good team at all. So I have the Colts winning this one 21-13. Simon also has the Colts winning this one 20-13. Then we have the Houston Texans at the New England Patriots. Right now, the Texans are a 7.5-point favorite. The Texans have actually never beat the New England Patriots. So I think we're going to get that. Finally, for the first time in their history, I think they're finally going to get a win over the New England Patriots. Usually, especially when they go to New England, they always get their ass beat. It's never like a close matchup. It's always like this terrible, like 41-10 loss. But I think they're going to return the favor for once this time. I just think New England's a terrible team. They're going to be starting Drake May this week, so who knows what we're going to get from him. And they're just terrible. That's all there is about them. Whereas the Texans, they're a good team, and I feel like they've yet to really get going offensively, and I feel like this is going to be the game where they get it going offensively. I've got them dominating the Patriots 42-3, and Simon also has them dominating the Patriots 31-13. Then we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the New Orleans Saints. Right now, the Saints are a 2.5-point favorite. There will be no Derek Carr starting for the Saints this week because he is injured. So they will be starting rookie Spencer Rattler. So we don't know what we're going to get from him. We don't know what we're going to get from the rest of this team. And there's just, you know, the Saints really haven't played well since the beginning of the season. Now the last couple of weeks, they've actually kind of started to fall apart. And the Bucs, they're really good offensively. I really like what I see from them offensively. They don't play that consistent as well. They've had their moments along the way as in certain games, but I just think they're a better team. I think the Saints are really going to struggle in this one because, like I said, who knows what we're going to get from Spencer Rattler at the quarterback position. So I have Tampa Bay dominating this one 31-17, and Simon also has Tampa Bay dominating this one 30-17. Then we have the Cleveland Browns at the Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, the Eagles are an 8.5-point favorite. Cleveland is probably the worst team in the league, and they just get worser as the season wears on. They just look bad. And, you know, offensively, Deshaun Watson, you could tell he is not clicking with anybody, but they have yet to bench him. But it's just because, you know, they're pretty much stuck with this dude. So you got to work with what you can work with. The Eagles, they also haven't looked that great, but they are coming off of a bye week. It looks like they're going to get A.J. Brown back at the receiver position. So now that they're a little bit more healthy, a little bit more put together, and this is going to be a good team to get right against. And I feel like that's what the Eagles are going to do, get right against the Cleveland Browns 38-14. And Simon also has the Philadelphia Eagles smashing the Browns 31-13. Then we have the Washington Commanders at the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, the Ravens are a 6.5-point favorite. I feel like this is going to be a comeback down to earth game for Washington. They've been flying high right now, looking really damn good. And Jaden Daniels really hasn't been pressed just yet. But now he's going up against this Baltimore Ravens defense, and I think they're going to show him what this league is all about. And then I just think on the offensive side of the ball, the Ravens are going to have no issues scoring and running on this Washington team because Washington's just not that great defensively. This team's really just all about Jaden Daniels at this point, and I feel like this Ravens defense, one of the top defenses in the league, I think they're just going to show Jaden Daniels what's up. I think it's going to be a decent game for a bit, but I feel like as the game wears on, the Ravens are just going to wear them down and they're just going to extend their lead and they're going to walk away with the win 30-20. And Simon also has the Ravens winning this one, but he has them winning this one in overtime 26-23. So he thinks it's going to be a little bit closer. But I just personally look at the Ravens as a much better team and their defense is hungry. I mean, they've really gone at some really good quarterbacks this season. So, and like I said, Daniels looks good. I feel like he's the real deal. He's definitely the future of the Washington Commanders. I just feel like this is going to be his welcome to the NFL moment this week. Then moving on to the afternoon games, we have the Los Angeles Chargers at the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Chargers are a 2.5-point favorite. The Broncos are actually riding a pretty decent little winning streak here. They actually look pretty solid. Bo Nix is finally, you know, he still looks like a rookie, but he's actually putting together some pretty solid drives, turning the ball over less. He's actually progressing with every game, as you should. The Chargers, they're coming off of a bye week. This is also a division matchup, but I also think they are the better team. I really don't think Denver's that good. I think they have a lot of growing pains to deal with throughout the season, and this is going to be one of them. I do think it's going to be a close game because it is a division battle, but I do have the Chargers winning this one 27-20. I just think their defense is going to put the pressure on Bo Nix for some turnovers, and they may even get a couple of scores or set their offense up in good field position. And Simon also has the Chargers winning this one 30-20. Then we have the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Las Vegas Raiders. Right now, the Steelers are a 2.5-point favorite. The Raiders are going to be starting, what is his name? Is it McConnell? I can't remember who they're starting because I knew this was going to be the Raiders' season. They didn't have anything locked in at quarterback this season, and so I knew it was going to be a struggle for them throughout the season. I felt like they were going to be playing rotating quarterbacks, and so far in week six, here we are playing rotating quarterbacks. So I didn't think they were going to be playing that well other than on the defensive side of the ball. It's also the same with the Pittsburgh Steelers, though. But offensively, they have a little bit more of an identity than the Raiders do. I think they're a better team, and their defense just is hands down one of the best in the league. And I just think they're going to completely obliterate this Las Vegas Raiders offense. And I've got the Steelers winning this one 20-14. And Simon also has the Steelers winning this one 27-21. Then we have the Detroit Lions at the Dallas Cowboys. Right now, the Lions are a 3.5-point favorite. I just feel like this is a good game for the Cowboys to come into because they're coming off of that a crazy win in Pittsburgh. So I think that gave them a little bit of a boost of confidence here. But they better know that they're going up against a damn good team here. I mean, the Lions have an excellent offensive line. So it's going to be real difficult to stop this ground attack. And that's been an issue for the Cowboys. Although I will say, they played pretty well last week, so let's see what they got this week. We don't know about Micah Parsons, whether he's playing this week or not, but even so, they still got to put it together and put together a solid game. But I wouldn't be shocked if they have their moments where they miss a tackle or just leave a guy wide-ass open in the end zone or some stupid shit like that. But I do think the Cowboys' offense, they've now started to get it going with an actual ground attack. I think that's going to keep building as the season wears on. It also looks like Bland might play for the Cowboys this weekend, too. He practiced this week, and they haven't said he's officially playing or not, but that is going to be very interesting if De'Ron Bland makes his return in the secondary, because the Cowboys' secondary is really damn good. And you add Bland in there, I'm looking forward to it. But with that being said, the Cowboys actually shockingly own the Detroit Lions. They're actually on a 6-game win streak against the Lions, and I think we're going to keep that rolling into this game. I think it's going to be a close one. I think it's going to be one of those where it could be like a walk-off field goal or something of that nature, but I've got the Cowboys winning 28-27, and Simon and I disagree on this one. He's got the Lions winning 28-21. Then we have the Atlanta Falcons at the Carolina Panthers. Right now, the Falcons are a 5.5-point favorite. I kind of actually look at this game as being a duel of the quarterbacks. I think it's going to be Kirk Cousins versus Andy Dalton just trading back and forth, touchdowns, solid drives, and really making it an exciting game all the way down to the bitter end. With that being said, though, I think the Falcons are the better team. And the Panthers, they're just going to have their struggles throughout the season. Now, I would not be shocked if they eke this one out because it is a division battle. Division battles are always weird. But I'm going with Atlanta because simply because they're the better team. They've actually been, every one of their games has been close this season. So they know what this is all about. But I've got the Falcons winning this one 31-28. And Simon is going with his Carolina Panthers 27-24. So good for him there to take his Panthers in that matchup. And then our Sunday night football matchup is going to be the Cincinnati Bengals at the New York Giants. Right now, the Bengals are a 3.5-point favorite. And the Bengals have really had their struggles this season. The last couple of games, you know, they finally got a win 2 weeks ago. And then last week, they just lost a heartbreaker to the Ravens. But I think this game is going to be a good get-right game for you. The Giants, I don't believe in anything that they do, even though they had they had a great game last week. But overall, I just think they're a terrible team. I think they're awful offensively. It looks like Neighbors will not be playing in this game again, and he's their top producer on the offensive side of the ball. So I think they're just going to really have a struggle game, especially on the offensive side of the ball, and it's going to rely too much on their defense, which is actually pretty good. They're right up there in the top 10 in the league with sacks and turnovers, so they're actually one of the better defensive teams in the league. But I just think Cincinnati's going to be too much for them. Cincinnati's offense is actually really damn good. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are playing excellent football right now. And I just think they're going to be playing pissed off. They need this win. They are not going to want to lose to the shitty-ass Giants. So I think the Cincinnati Bengals are going to own that one 42-10. Simon also has the Bengals winning this one 38-20. And the teams on a bye week this week, we have the Kansas City Chiefs, the Los Angeles Rams, the Miami Dolphins, and the Minnesota Vikings are all on a bye week this week. Now let's move on to playoff baseball. We already have one half of the NLCS set and one half of the ALCS set. And both of them are the New York teams. We are headed towards a possible Subway Series World Series again, guys. And I'm here for that, by the way. I actually would love to see the New York Mets face off against the New York Yankees. I think that would be excellent, especially with the way the Mets are playing right now. Real talk, watch out for the Mets, y'all. So let's talk about the Mets. They took out the Philadelphia Phillies 4-1 and moved on to the NLCS in amazing fashion. I mean, this team, it was funny because I was recording my my podcast on Wednesday, and I was talking about, I think it was like the seventh inning, and the Phillies had the lead 1-0, and then I even said, that's what it said, what we're at now, but you got to watch out for the Mets because they're known to score runs in these later innings and then get the win, and I kid you not, I hit the stop button, I look up, and Francisco Lindor literally is winding up, cranks his bat, and hits it out of the park. And so I had it on mute, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, holy shit, is that a grand slam? And then, yeah, I'm like, oh my God, I just said that this is how they win, and that is how they win. But that's what you pay Francisco Lindor to do. And this Mets team, I'm not kidding, I would not be shocked to see this Mets team hoisting that trophy at the end, because this is what I love about playoff baseball. You have the Dodgers who've been dominating all season long. Then you have a team that just lost, like the Phillies, who've also been dominating all season long. And you look at them and you're like, this is the best team. They got the better roster. They got this, that, and the other. But sometimes, and this happens all the time, not every year, but it happens all the time, there is a team that just gets it going that last month of the regular season, and they just roll into the playoffs and steamroll by everybody, and then there they are hoisting that trophy. It has happened so many times. I've even seen my own San Francisco Giants do it before. They've done it so many teams along the way where you're like, damn, where the fuck did they come from? And the Mets, they've always been shaky. They've always been choky. But this might be the year to be a New York Mets fan, because they might actually do it, because they dominated the Phillies. This was not just a, we barely got by. No, the Phillies only got one win in this series. The Mets dominated their asses from start to finish, and look out for the Mets to potentially be hoisting that trophy when it's all said and done. Then moving on to the other New York team, the New York Yankees in game three, they took the win 3-2. Giancarlo Stanton, this guy is showing up for some playoff baseball. You know, he's been injured so bad over the years, and it's just like he's been hobbling along, and you just kind of look at Stanton, and sometimes he'll come up and hit a home run. You'll be like, all right, that's great. Well, in game three, this motherfucker took over like no other. Not only did he hit the game-winning home run, he made it look like it was nothing, because there was at one point where as he hits the ball, I'm like, oh, this is going to be caught in the outfield. But then I'm watching the outfielder just like run off, and the ball like just is probably still flying through the stands right now. But then Stanton also stole a base. And if you don't know, Giancarlo Stanton is a slow motherfucker. That dude don't steal bases ever. But he stole one in this one, and it actually helped, you know, set up the Yankees to take the win in this one. And then last night in game four, they saved Gerrit Cole for the perfect time. He pitched a gem last night. He went 7 innings. And dominated the Kansas City Royals. They weren't even able to score on him until the 7th inning. And the Yankees got a great win, 3-1, and they are moving on to the ALCS. Hey, Stanton also had a couple of hits last night as well. So, you know, he's really stepped it up in the ALDS. So let's see what happens in the ALCS here. But both of the New York teams right now are waiting on their opponents. NLCS starts on Sunday, and the ALCS will start on Monday. So we'll be talking those matchups on Monday's show. But the other two matchups that actually have Game 5s coming up this weekend, first matchup is between the Dodgers and the Padres. The Dodgers absolutely dominated Game 4, 8-0. Just everybody was scoring in this one. Betts had a home run, Lux, Smith, I mean, everybody. There was no issues for the Dodgers scoring in this one, and the Padres just looked terrible. Game 5 is tonight. I actually picked the Padres to win this series in 5, so they're actually doing what I expect them to do, and this is actually what I expect them to do. I mean, the Padres, they are not scared to go to L.A. They have won there already in this series and in throughout the season, and they're not scared, and I just kind of feel like they're going to go ahead and dominate this one, and I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair, like kind of like the last, pretty much every game in this one has been a high-scoring affair for both teams. And then in the last game, or actually in Game 4, the Cleveland Guardians were able to push it to a Game 5 against the Detroit Tigers in a crazy Game 4. I mean, it was back and forth. It was 1-0 Cleveland, then Detroit tied it up, and then Cleveland took the lead again, and then Detroit tied it up. And every time it felt like Cleveland was starting to pull away, Detroit would get there. But then in the 7th inning, Fry actually came in for as a pinch hitter, and he hit a home run, and that is basically what the Guardians never looked back at that point. They actually ended up taking Game 4, 5-4, and we have a Game 5 in this matchup set for Saturday. So we'll see how that one goes. I know I picked Detroit in this one. I can't remember if it was 4 or 5, but I know I picked Detroit, so of course I'm sticking with Detroit. This has been a very, very tense and close series, which is not shocking because, I mean, they are division rivals, so they know each other very well, but it's going to be a very interesting Game 5, to say the least. So we've got two Game 5s, and then, like I said, the championship series will be starting on Sunday and Monday. So we'll see who will be going on to play the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. Now, we are only about a week and a half away, y'all, from some basketball. We got us some NBA basketball right around the corner, which means it is time for my 2024-2025 NBA season predictions. And we're going to go ahead and start with the Western Conference today. I'm just going to go ahead and do all three divisions and just break it down and see where I think things are going to end up with this season. So like I said, beginning with Western Conference today, we'll do Eastern Conference on Monday, and then playoff breakdown next Friday. So let's start off, of course, with the Pacific Division, because I am a Lakers fan, so we always start off with where my favorite team is. And I do think the Lakers are actually going to dominate this division and get the win. Now, I think it's going to be a close division. I think the Lakers are going to be good. I think the Suns are going to be good. I think the Kings, I think they're going to be good. But I think they could also be on shaky ground as well, because last year they did not play well, but you never know. And then the Clippers and Golden State will get there. But I feel like this is going to be pretty competitive, at least between the Lakers, the Suns, and the Kings. I wouldn't be shocked if they're just trading spots at the top, rotating basically on a regular basis throughout the season, because that's how good I think all three of those teams are going to end up being. Now, the Lakers, it sounds like they're still trying to make a move for another center, which I would like, because AD, he's been playing phenomenal in the preseason, by the way, so far. And he's actually why I think the Lakers are going to be the top team in the Pacific Division this year, because I think he's going to stay healthy like he did last year. And if you got a healthy AD, then we are going to play excellent basketball. And if we get a center, that means he's going to be more free. And he plays better when he's more free, when he's not the primary center, not when he's... Because he's an excellent defender. Let's not act like AD ain't one of the greatest defenders in the league right now, because he most certainly is. But I like when he's moving around. I like when he's able to get offensive, go off on the offensive side of the ball, but also create turnovers and also get under the rim. But I would like us to have a primary center, and that actually sounds like that's what's going to happen here, is at some point in the season, the Lakers are going to be trading for somebody else. And it sounds like at the center position is what they're going for. Don't know who it is. And hell, you never know. It always kind of sounds like the Lakers are going to be trading for somebody at some point, because that's just kind of how they do. But I think that's going to play a factor into this. But I think most of it's, of course, just going to be AD and LeBron. They both are still playing at a high level. They both play well. And if they stay healthy, this Lakers team should be pretty damn good. Then finishing in second place, I had the Phoenix Suns. Just another year with Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. I think the three of them, they work very well together. It's just, can they stay healthy? But at this point, I feel like that's the question for every team every season at this point. So injuries are just kind of whatever at this point. But I feel like the three of them, they play well together, and another season under their belt with each other, they're going to get to know each other a little bit more on the court, and I think they're just going to be more in sync with each other. Their issue is definitely going to be on the defensive side of the ball, but they actually put it together in the second half last year, and I think they're just going to carry that over and actually start the beginning of the season off a lot better than they did last year. Then in third place, I have the Sacramento Kings. They did pick up DeMar DeRozan in the offseason, so that's good. That's a good addition, because DeRozan, I don't feel like he's the guy who can carry a team anymore, but he doesn't have to with the Sacramento Kings team, because they have De'Aaron Fox, who was battling through injuries last year, so you can't really count last year against him. But Sabonis, this guy's been, he had a fantastic year last year. One of the best players in the league, for sure. So I feel like adding DeRozan in with these two guys, it's going to actually be a match made in heaven, because DeRozan doesn't have to be the dude. He doesn't have to shoulder the load. So I think that's just going to work in their favor. I think they're going to be really, really good on the offensive side of the ball. It's just their questions are going to be on the defensive side of the ball as well. Then I have finishing in fourth place in the Pacific Division, the Los Angeles Clippers. All they have is Kawhi Leonard and James Harden. Kawhi Leonard is a shocker here, you guys. I don't know if you guys have ever heard this before, but Kawhi Leonard is still injured. Yeah, he still has issues with his knees. So I feel like it's just going to be that same old song and dance where Kawhi is going to be good and then he's going to get injured. He's going to be good and then he's going to get injured. Or he's going to be good and then get injured for the rest of the season and we'll never see him again. James Harden, we all know what we get from James Harden. Yeah, he's going to have some big-ass games, but other than that, he's not going to, like, carry this team to a championship. So I feel like the Clippers are just the Clippers. But finishing in fifth place in the Pacific Division, I have the Golden State Warriors. I just think they're old, and their window has closed, and they're no longer the scary dynasty that we were used to. Of course, they still have Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Wiggins, but they did lose Klay Thompson. Now, not that he was a major factor last year, but basically this team is not what they used to be, and you could kind of see them falling off last year. They were, you know, sticking around there with their heads above water, but they just aren't really a good team, and I'm not really expecting much from them this year, so I'm expecting them to not even make the playoffs this year. Then moving on to the Northwest Division in the Western Conference here, I have the Denver Nuggets finishing in first place. They did add Russell Westbrook, and I think this is a good fit for Russell Westbrook, because Westbrook is also no longer that guy who's going to carry a team, but I think he's going to fit right in here as a role player, because first of all, this Denver Nuggets team, they're already a championship caliber team, so it's not like Westbrook's going to come in and ruin the locker room or anything. He's not going to be the go-to guy. I think he pretty much has accepted what role he's going to get in this team. I also think Westbrook's at the age where he's like, I just kind of want a championship, man. I want to be a part of a good team, which he's going to be a part of a good team. And I look at the Denver Nuggets as being that new team, basically like what the Golden State Warriors used to be, where they were just always there in the playoffs. They were always competing for a championship. And it's just basically everybody else is going to be playing catch up with them. And I feel like that's going to be the Denver Nuggets yet again this year. I feel like they're going to be really damn good. I don't see how Jokic has lost a step. I mean, they still have Murray. And like I said, they added Westbrook in. So I feel like that gives them more depth. And they've been the deepest team basically the last two seasons. So to give them Westbrook and make them an even deeper squad, I think this is just going to be a really good team. And I think, like I said, the addition of Westbrook is good because let's say a Jamal Murray is out like he was last year at the beginning of the year. Well, you got Westbrook now who can easily fill in. And Westbrook is a dude who can take over a game. So don't be shocked if he comes in every once in a while and takes over a game, because he doesn't need to be the go-to guy or the main guy anymore, especially on a championship-level team like the Denver Nuggets. Then finishing in second place in the Northwest Division, I have the Oklahoma City Thunder. They did add Hartenstein this offseason, and I think that's great because now Chet can kind of move. He doesn't have to solely play center, and neither does Hartenstein. And the both of them can kind of dominate the paint as they did last year. We'll see, and I just kind of feel like Oklahoma City's going to kind of bounce off of what they did last year. I think a lot of us were kind of questioning whether they were legit or not, and we'll definitely see what happens this year if they are. But I think the addition of Hartenstein's definitely going to make them better in the paint, and they were one of the top teams in the paint last year. So if they can improve there, then they're going to be really difficult to stop. And they're going to be real difficult to score on or even try and get rebounds on. So I've got Oklahoma City having another good year this year. Then finishing in third place in the Northwest Division, I have the Minnesota Timberwolves. I really actually question their trading of Karl Anthony Towns. I think him, Gobert, and Ant actually worked pretty well together. But I'm not really sure what went on there. And it kind of felt like Kat was blindsided by it. So who knows what happened here. I do like the addition of Randall from the New York Knicks. But I don't think he's better than Karl Anthony Towns. Now, he's definitely going to add in a great defensive force for them. And I feel like that's where Minnesota's been weakest at, is the defensive side of the ball. But I don't know if Randall's really going to change them and turn them into a championship-level team. I feel like Ant is going to do what he normally does, go off and just be one of the best players in the league. And then Gobert, he's just not really that dominating. That's why I kind of felt like he and Kat worked together, because they both could actually help out in the paint. If one wasn't really having a good night, the other one would usually step it up. And I just feel like Gobert being the primary guy in the paint, I think it's just going to be a problem for them. And I don't think they're going to be as good as they've been with Karl Anthony Towns. But who knows? They will have a little bit more of a defensive edge. But, I mean, when you got Denver and Oklahoma City in your division, I feel like those two teams are much better and in a much better spot than the Timberwolves right now. Then finishing in fourth place in the Northwest Division, I have the Utah Jazz. All they really have is Markkanen at this point. And it kind of actually sounds like he's probably going to be one of those dudes who's basically dangled in front of everybody until the trade deadline. So I wouldn't be shocked if he gets traded at some point in the season, because he's pretty much been talked about since last year's trade deadline. And actually, from what I'm reading, that's a guy that the Lakers are potentially going after. And if you ask me, if we had him, well, then shit, we definitely win in our division. But that's neither here nor there, because it hasn't happened yet. But anyways, I think he's going to be somewhere else. And Utah's just not a very good team, so that's all they've got at this point. And then rounding out the Northwest Division in fifth place, I have the Portland Trailblazers. I feel like they might actually be the worst team in the league this year. I feel like they are shooting for the first round pick, or the first pick in the draft next year, and that's about all they've got at this point. Then moving on to the Southwest Division, I have the Dallas Mavericks winning this division. As a matter of fact, I think the Dallas Mavericks are going to be the best team in the league this year. You'll find out where I feel they stand in the playoffs, but I am all in on the Dallas Mavericks this year. I think they are going to take off from what they did last year, and not only because I think Luka and Kyrie look damn good, but they just added Klay Thompson, and I think Klay Thompson fits perfect with this team, because Klay is the old veteran now, and this guy has rings, so he's going to bring that championship-level pedigree. And, you know, Kyrie, I think he and Kyrie are going to work very well together, because Kyrie is is a solid point guard. He's right up there with Steph Curry. I mean, obviously he's not Steph Curry, a game changer, but I mean, he's a great ball distributor and he's an excellent point guard. So I feel like he and Clay are going to work well together. And if Luka and Kyrie are having a bad night, look out for Clay. And I mean, he's going to hit some clutch threes. We all know that. So I look at Dallas as making a huge addition with Klay Thompson, and I've got them as one of the top teams in the league this year. Then at number two in the Southwest Division, I have the New Orleans Pelicans. The main reason why I like this team is because for once, Zion Williamson is healthy. 100%. He is not coming off of a surgery. He's not coming off of an injury. He is coming off of one of probably the healthiest years of his life. So I look at the New Orleans Pelicans as also being one of the biggest competitors. I feel like they're going to be I don't want to say surprise team, but I feel like they're going to be one of those teams that's a problem for everybody, and I feel like they're going to be right up there, and I feel like they're going to be a playoff team for sure, especially if Zion stays healthy. But he comes in probably in the best shape of his life. He's healthy, he's hungry, and he's ready to go, and I feel like the New Orleans Pelicans are going to be a good team this year. Then finishing in third place in the Southwest Division, a team I think everybody has forgotten about, the Memphis Grizzlies. I actually think they're going to be pretty decent this year. I'm not going to call them one of the best teams in the league, but I think they're going to be making some noise. Ja Morant, he's coming off of not only injuries, but the last couple of seasons it's been injuries plus off the field or off the court shit. So this is a year where it's been a quiet off season for him and he could just get back to basketball and get healthy. But also, let's see what happens with him and Marcus Smart, because Marcus Smart, he was traded last year to the Grizzlies, and we never really got to see what he could do because he also got injured. And so now with him and Jaw on the court, I'm interested to see what they've got. And I think the Grizzlies are going to be a surprise team this year because a lot of people have really forgot about them. Then finishing in fourth place in the Southwest Division, I have the Houston Rockets. I really don't know why. I went back and forth between them and the Spurs because I think them and the Spurs are kind of like the same team. Houston had a little bit more spark last year, so I'm giving them the edge. But, I mean, really, they don't have a star. I was looking at their roster. I was like, who the fuck is this squad? I don't even know who you people are. But they got a roster, so they're going to be playing some basketball this year. But I got them in fourth place. But my hopes are not high for them in any way, shape, or form. And then finishing out the Southwest Division, I do have the Spurs. Yes, they have Victor Wembanyama, who has gained some weight this offseason. You could tell he's gained a lot of muscle, which is definitely what he needed to do. And he's had a fantastic preseason. So I'm actually expecting him to elevate his game and also just have a fantastic second year. And the Spurs did sign Chris Paul in the offseason, and I like the move, but at the same time, I hate saying this because I love Chris Paul. I've been a huge fan of his since the day he was drafted into the league. I've always been upset that the Lakers got screwed over out of that trade for Chris Paul because he should have helped win us some championships with Kobe Bryant, but he did not. So I love Chris Paul. I've always rooted for Chris Paul. But just as a basketball fan, I think we all know that Chris Paul is, I don't want to say washed up, but he's definitely not the old Chris Paul. And it's not even just injuries. He's just not what he used to be. He's definitely going to give them a little bit of an edge. He's definitely going to be a good guy to give Wemby some guidance and just general basketball. I mean, it's not like it's a bad thing to have Chris Paul around, but Chris Paul is not going to make or break this San Antonio Spurs team. Come on now. So I just think the Spurs, they're still a very young team, and they just don't really have anybody else beyond Victor Wembanyama. So I just don't think there's much to discuss with them. And that's why I have them finishing behind the Houston Rockets, just because, like I said, the Rockets actually had a spark last year. They were basically the same shitbag roster of nobodies. And they just were able to play some pretty decent basketball and make some waves. But I just look at the two of them, the Houston Rockets and the San Antonio Spurs, as just being bottom feeders and not really going anywhere this season. But yeah, a lot of people are excited about Chris Paul to the Spurs, and I'm just like, I don't think he's going to make or break this team. He's definitely not making them a playoff team, that's for sure. But I do expect Victor Wembanyama to go off and actually, you know, give the Spurs fans something interesting to watch, at least on his, when he's got the ball. All right, y'all. Enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.